By now we know what the word contagious or infectious means. If something is contagious, it spreads easily. Contagious is the quality of being able to spread easily and quickly. In the Bible, we have the dreaded disease of leprosy. People feared leprosy more than almost anything else. And we're going to be looking at leprosy from Leviticus 13. We'll look at the disease, what comes out of this passage, and then we'll look at a few things about the leper, and we'll end looking at us, ourselves. Interestingly, the name leprosy seems to have changed its meaning a bit. There are different definitions of leprosy, but the most common one understood today is a condition where your nerve endings don't work. Your nerve endings are damaged so that you don't feel. And that seems to be a bit different to what we read here, the leprosy we find in the Bible. Because this one where you don't feel, it might seem like a good condition because you can never feel pain. But really, if you've got a stone in your shoe and you don't feel it, by the end of the day, you've got a hole in your foot and a terrible sore which will really struggle to get healed. And there are many other complications. The lepers end up with many sores all around their bodies. But in Leviticus 13, we find that the focus here is not on health. You might think leprosy is a sickness, the problem is health. The focus here seems to be uncleanness, ceremonial uncleanness, defilement. And the focus is on stopping it from spreading because they don't want defilement to spread to others. And the danger of it spreading. And it was really feared very much. It was seen as a judgment. Think of the Bible. Which people in the Old Testament had leprosy? Well, we think of Miriam. It was a judgment. She was judged because of the way she approached Moses and how she spoke about Moses. Gehazi, remember that one? Elijah's servant. And how Gehazi, after his master had said goodbye to Naaman, and Naaman had gone off, after being healed, and after offering the money and clothes, which Elijah didn't accept, Gehazi, in his greed, ran after the chariot to get some of the gold and silver and clothing for himself. And he secretly brought it back and put it in his hut. And he stood before Elijah, and Elijah said, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And Gehazi got the leprosy. And then we hear about Uzziah, that king. He was a king. He wasn't a priest. He was a king. But he went into the temple and he burnt some incense, something the priest was allowed to do, but not the king. And he was judged. God struck him with leprosy. In fact, the Hebrew word for leprosy comes from a root, which means to strike. So if somebody had leprosy, really the implication was he's been struck. It's obviously not every time, but there's such a close connection that to have leprosy was something terrible. And of course, being outside, nobody may come near you. It was really terrible. Let's read some of the verses here in Leviticus. We won't read the whole chapter. It's a It's a disturbing chapter actually to read. But let's read the first 15 verses and then just two other verses. Leviticus 13, starting from verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean." Not sick, unclean. "But if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And if in his eyes the disease is checked, and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. 14 days quarantine. Verse 6. And the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day. And if the diseased area has faded and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. And if the eruption spreads in the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest. And the priest shall look. And if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease." You'll notice as you read the chapter, there are a number of different conditions which are called leprosy. Verse 9, "When a man is afflicted with a leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look. And if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his body. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprous disease breaks out in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and if the leprous disease has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean of the disease. It has all turned white, and he is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean, for it is a leprous disease." Well, we're not going to go further than that. Let's look at just two more verses, verse 45 and 46. "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose." Some versions of the Bible have there, "he shall shave his head." Now, I'm not an expert there to say which manuscripts or translations are correct, but my sense is that that second other meaning is probably the correct one, that he has to have his head shaved. There are images here of mourning, which seems to be the, I mean, if I have my hair hang loose, really, does it make any difference? I think probably what it's saying here is he should have his head shaved and cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that everybody can hear it. Verse 46, "He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Right, as I said, we'll first look at this leprosy and some things which we find in the passage about it. Firstly, we note that the leprosy must be identified. We mustn't take for granted this is leprosy. The priest can't just take for granted it's leprosy. Some conditions looked like leprosy, but were not leprosy. And so, quite a few times we find here the words saying he must look, he must examine. Look at just three verses there. Verse 3 says, "And the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin." And then, obviously, looking and even at the end of verse 3, it says, "When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean." Verse 5, "The priest shall examine him on the seventh day to see what has happened there." Verse 6, "And the priest shall examine him again." We find here quite an emphasis on this, that the priest can't take for granted this is leprosy. He has to look carefully, identify, and know this is definitely a case of leprosy. I think any medical doctor also needs to be careful. If somebody has got a fever and he's got some body pains, he doesn't say it's malaria. He says it might be malaria. Let's look at a few other things before he pronounces it malaria. In fact, one time I came to a doctor and the doctor said, "Well, that could be malaria, but it could be tick bite fever. It could be tick fever." So can you see there are different options? And so here the priest examines to make sure. If somebody's got a cough, you know what I'm going to say now. It's not necessarily that he's got a TB or he's got coronavirus or he's... There are different possibilities. And I think the lesson for us is that with all things, we need to observe and be careful. Even with sin, something is not necessarily sin if it offends us. We need to look at Scripture. We need to look a little deeper. Is it sinful? Just because we are offended, because we don't like something, it does not necessarily mean that this is sinful. And jump to quick conclusions. We must be biblical. We must be careful and evaluate. Another thing about the leprosy is that it's deeper than the skin. I'm sure as we were reading, you noticed that a few times. It's deeper than the skin. If it's just on the surface, well, that's not leprosy. But if it looks as if it's deeper than the skin, well, that's a bit more serious. It's not just a rash. It's not just a fungus growing on the surface. It's deeper. Look at verse 3. "The priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body, and if the hair is a diseased area, or in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease." Verse 4. "If the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin," and so on, "then the person is probably unclean." I mean, probably clean if it's not deeper than the skin. Verse 20, we didn't read it just now. But there it says, "And the priest shall look, and if it appears deeper than the skin." Yeah. Leprosy, real leprosy, is deeper than the skin. There's something inside which comes out. Something is deep down and it shows on the skin of the body. It reminds me of some weeds. You see these kind of weeds on the outside, you see the leaves of the weeds and they trouble you. But inside, under the ground, there's a bulb. And if you dig it up, you'll see the bulb. But if you don't know, well, you take the weed and you pull it out. It breaks off. The bulb stays under the ground. And it doesn't take long before the weed is there again. It just grows out again. The problem is not in the leaves. The problem is there in the bulb under the ground. And it's deeper than the surface. And so one has to really dig down like that. And sin is the same. Sin doesn't come from the skin. Where does sin come from? From the heart. It's taught in the Old Testament. It's taught in the New Testament. Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts and murders and adultery and all these things. From the heart. The problem is deeper than the skin, and the solution is deeper than the skin. The problem is not just the skin, and so the solution must go deeper. The solution must be right there at the heart. And God knows how to resolve that. Even positive things. Where does joy come from for a Christian? Is it just pasted on the face? Or does it come from the heart? It comes from the heart. Genuine Christianity is not just a show. Genuine Christianity is not something which you put on when you're in front of other Christians. When you go to church, then you put on your Christianity. And when you go home, well, then other things come out. No, true Christianity comes from the heart. Another thing about leprosy, which we read here, is that it spreads in the body. It spreads in the body. And this was a great concern. Verse 5, 6, 8, we don't even have to read there again. But the real leprosy spreads. And if it does not spread, well, let's keep looking. It looks as if the person might be clean and not have real leprosy. But if it spreads, it's leprosy. And the person must be declared unclean because it spreads in the body. It's on the hand, then it's on the arm, then it's on the chest. It spreads. What a frightening thing. Again, weeds. Tremendous illustration, weeds are. But weeds also spread. We discovered somebody told us, warned us, and said that if your lawnmower doesn't have a grass box, doesn't have that bucket that collects the cuttings, then it spreads whatever you cut. So you cut some weeds, and the lawnmower throws those pieces of weeds all over the show. And there it starts growing, and there it starts growing. And so you actually spread it even further. Well, weeds spread like that, and sin also spreads. It's amazing. You look around, somebody's doing something bad, and if nobody says anything about it, if nothing happens about it, it doesn't take long before you see some other people are doing exactly the same thing. One person starts coming late regularly, and then suddenly everybody is coming late. One person uses some bad language, and it doesn't take long. You see it here and there. The standard drops, and it spreads. It spreads. If nobody speaks about sin in a certain church, that sin spreads. Later on, the pastor and the elders, and they all are infected by that. And I believe good things also spread. Good things also spread. I will mention something about that a little later. Another thing about leprosy is it spreads not only on the body, it spreads to other people. In fact, that was the worst thing about it. That's where we come to this whole idea of contagious. It spreads to others. Verse 45 and 46, which we read earlier, speak about that. This person had to be kept separate from everybody else. He had to say unclean, so that people could hear, this person is unclean. I must keep my distance. I must stay away because I don't want to get the infection. Stay outside the camp. Miriam had to stay outside the camp when she got leprosy. She was not allowed in until she was clean and until the priests had confirmed that. And what about the lepers outside of Samaria? I think some of you will know about the situation where Samaria was besieged by the Assyrians. And there were four lepers outside. Why were they outside? Because lepers must be outside. They must stay separate from the other people. It's like a fire, a grass fire. When the wind is blowing, it goes through trees and all these things, and a branch with burning leaves and so on will be thrown and lift up in the updraft and go across a road, and the fire starts on the other side of the road. From one person to another person. Untreated tuberculosis, TB, infectious. HIV, infectious. Coronavirus, infectious. If the people understood this well at the time of the Black Plague, many millions of lives would have been spared. But they didn't understand it. And it went from one person to another. And again, even sin is infectious. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a warning. It says there, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So if you've got bad friends, it spreads. Don't say, I'm strong, I will not be infected. He says here, do not be deceived. The whole idea is that we can easily be deceived into thinking, I will not be infected. And then you do get infected. I'm going to tell you a story about someone who was infectious. Her name was Mary Mallon. Not Milan. Mary Mallon from Ireland. In 1906, many years ago, before they understood all these too much about germs and so on, 1906, George Soper was asked to investigate a certain case of typhoid fever in the United States in New York. A family was there. There were 11 people in the household, and six of the 11 had typhoid fever. And so he investigated, and he found out that there had been a cook by the name of Mary, and she had been working there in the kitchen until about 3 weeks before that, and she had left. And so he tried to follow up, he tried to find out what more about this woman. He found out her name, and he found out that he'd, over the previous 10 years, she had worked in 8 families as a cook. With 7 of those families, they got typhoid fever. After Mary left that area, she worked in another household, and the lady of the home got typhoid fever. Then she started working in another home. That was when Mr. Soper found her. The people in the home had just got sick with typhoid fever. A girl in the home died of the fever. So he George wanted to discuss with her the danger that she was, because she was infecting people all over. And she didn't want to lose her job, and she didn't want to get caught, so she grabbed a carving fork and protected herself, and she jumped out of the window or something, and she fled, and she left. She managed to escape. And then she worked as, well, she tried to work again somewhere else, but she was caught by the police. And they forced her to stay in a hospital room for quite some time, and they had tests done. They found that she, in fact, was sick all the time, but it wasn't very serious. So she managed to live with the symptoms. And the typhoid bacteria was multiplying in her body, especially in her gallbladder. And periodically, the body would release this bacteria. And at those times, everything she touched was infected. Plates, cups, knives and forks, and people who touched those things got typhoid fever. In 1910, she was released, and she was told, the condition is you may not work as a cook anywhere. So she changed her name, and she went to another town, and she worked as a cook. And the next household got typhoid fever. And then she went to a hospital, and she changed her name again. She called herself Mrs. Brown. 25 of the nurses got typhoid fever. And when they identified her, she fled, and she changed her name again. And the people there got typhoid fever. And then the police caught her, and they kept her in prison the rest of her life. I hope none of us end up following the example of Mary Mellon. We've looked at leprosy and seen how Mary actually illustrates something of leprosy quite well. But let's look at the leper. What must happen to the leper? What we first see is the leper must acknowledge his condition, and he must mourn over his condition. He needs to declare, I am unclean. I am unclean. And he must mourn. I say that the words are not here, but the outward expression of mourning in those days was to shave the head and to wear torn clothes, and those kind of things were signs of mourning. Can you imagine if sinners had to act like this? I don't know if you've seen this before. Somebody running around saying, I'm a sinner! I'm a sinner! I'm a liar! I'm a cheat! I'm a pervert! Can you just imagine? I think it will be a very good thing. I'm a lazy glutton. I'm unfaithful. I think we would all run away, and sin would stop spreading. It would be wonderful. It would be excellent. But that doesn't happen, unfortunately. And just to blame other people is not good. I must acknowledge I've got leprosy. I'm unclean. The leper had to do that. He had to dress that way. He had to respond that way. He had to say, I'm unclean. He had to cover his face. And he had to grieve about his condition and acknowledge it. He also had to separate himself. The leper had to separate himself from other people. He had to keep his social distance, a term we keep on hearing these days. And I think it's important to remember on a physical level, if somebody near to you, if you or somebody near to you has got something infectious, well, keep these things in mind. The Bible taught it many years ago. in Leviticus chapter 13. Don't be like a Christian that I spoke to earlier this year. He said that his faith will keep him from getting the coronavirus. What kind of faith is that? Does the Bible say that you're not going to get corona? Are you putting your faith in what? One has to obey the wisdom that we find in Scripture as well. So we must separate ourselves. In fact, if I know that deep down there's a problem in my heart, which is coming out to the surface in my life, in my behavior, the right thing for me to do is to go into the room, separate myself from people, get my Bible, and turn to the Lord and ask Him to deal with the problem. Because the Lord is the solution. We notice actually that the leper needs divine intervention. He needs God to step in. If we look at the leprosy in the Bible, there's not a single doctor mentioned relating to leprosy anywhere in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Miriam, how was she healed? God healed her and she came into the camp again. How was Naaman healed? Was it a doctor? No, God healed Naaman. How were the lepers healed in the New Testament? In Luke 5, we read about Jesus healing a leper. Not a doctor. Jesus healed the leper. In Luke 17, we read about 10 lepers. Jesus healed all 10 of them. Divine intervention. There's no special medical cure. God had to do it. And that's because only God can heal the heart. And God can heal that which is deep down. Leprosy is a picture of something which shows on the outside, but the problem is on the inside. And so, to conclude, let's look at ourselves. We've looked at leprosy and we've looked at the leper. What about us? What condition do I have? What condition do you have which is contagious? Do you have a condition which is infectious, good or bad? Well, and a condition which is deeper than the skin, a condition which comes from inside. The challenge here is twofold. If it's bad, if it's a bad condition, you need to sort out the problem deeper than just the outside. And you need to stop it from spreading. If it's bad, don't let it spread. Don't let it infect others. Get God to deal with it. Plead with the Lord that He would heal it on the inside and take serious measures to stop the spread from you to anybody else. But what if it's good? What if the Holy Spirit is in your heart working powerfully and your Christianity is deeper than the skin and it comes from inside and there's joy and there's godliness coming out? What must we do then? Must we keep it to ourselves and keep our social distance? No. Then we must be contagious. We must be like Mary Mellon, running around, spreading it as far as we can, because that's which God wants to spread. Let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. If you've got the truth, spread it. If you've got godliness, spread it. Let that which is good radiate from you, even in the week and the months to come. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Even in Leviticus, so many years ago, these books were written. And Lord, because you understand that which comes from the heart, you understand sickness, you understand sin, we pray, Lord, that you will touch each one of us here according to our need, according to what your challenge is for us. We pray that you'll help us to be faithful to what you are saying to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.